Something wicked is coming this way, and only fools are ignoring the signs. So it's time you became a financial prepper like thousands of others. Gold can travel anywhere. It's international. It's its own currency. Allocate to gold now, the timeless safe haven asset. Open an IRA with Noble Gold Investments to physically hold coins and bars, and let real, tangible gold, not just paper, save your portfolio as the economy burns again. Right now, Noble Gold Investments offers a free 3-ounce silver American Virtue coin with every qualified IRA. Just use the promo code GOLD to claim your free coin and secure your family's financial future. Go to NobleGoldInvestments.com now. NobleGoldInvestments.com.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
An appearance on this platform is not necessarily an endorsement, but as always, we encourage you to do your own research. Enjoy the show. Good evening, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Friday Night Livestream at our new earlier time, because I got tired of staying up till 4 in the morning on Friday nights. Appreciate y'all being here. I am joined once again by the one and only, the captivating Miss Maryam Hinnane. And I know you guys love her because every time she's on the show, it's always such a good time. Maryam has an incredible perspective. She's a great journalist, great digger. And tonight, as it says on the thumbnail, we're going to be talking about her new documentary, which has now come out, The Real Timeline. We're going to be decoding once again the George Floyd psyop. God, it's so funny. That politics ninja guy is all over my timeline. I don't know why he wants me dead so bad. It's crazy. It's crazy. It was a free and fair election. Okay. Here's the thing. 2023 is the year every single conspiracy theory, quote unquote, that we've been talking about has been proven to be true. So is this the year that we learn the truth of the George Floyd psyop? I certainly hope so. Do me a favor, sit back, relax, and grab your popcorn, because Maryam and I will be right back after this. All right, welcome back to the program, everyone. Thank you so much for joining us. If you're over there on Rumble, I would sincerely appreciate dropping a like. I had a conversation with someone who works at Rumble yesterday or the day before, and he gave me a couple of insights into how you're supposed to make it onto the leaderboards. And there is a time cutoff. So if we are able to hit a substantial number of thumbs up before that cutoff, which I think is 9 p.m., we have an hour, and I think we can beat it. I think we can do this. If you guys could hit that like button for me, it would sincerely help. And thank you to everybody over there on Getter. Thank you to everybody out there on Twitter, on Odyssey, and most importantly on the Foxhole, supporting free speech. And Maryam, I know you are also a supporter of free speech. You've been banned, suppressed. You've been held down by the man just as much as any of us out here in the alternative journalism sphere, the alternative media sphere. So I want to thank you very much once again for being here. And thank you for this incredible film. It was a great thing to watch.
Thank you. What a lovely intro. Thank you, Zach. I'm happy New Year to your audience.
Absolutely.
And I'm very happy to present this and to yet again talk about George Floyd on your show.
Oh, man. When this whole thing went down, I remember, like, I heard about what happened to George Floyd, and then I saw the clips that were going around that the mainstream media was sharing. And you kind of highlight this in the film. You know, they only showed you so much, and it really wasn't that much, but it was enough to make it look like Derek Chauvin definitely murdered a black dude on the ground. You know, and even having all of the knowledge, watching your entire film and seeing the entire thing acted out, I was still really uncomfortable. It was, you're still watching a man die, regardless of how it happened, you know? So, you know, you point out a number of times, you know, in the film that this is a psyop. You know, there is more going on here than just a guy dying on the street. You know, there seems to be this kind of coordinated thing going on. The timeline doesn't match up. The story doesn't match up to the official narrative. And and it was just it was just difficult. I mean, I was struck by how horrible it is to watch someone's life just literally ebb out of them.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I've watched it hundreds of times.
I don't know how you
can
do
it. Can you imagine? Yeah. Can you imagine? Like, I have a lot of light, but this has been really dark. But I'm very determined. Six planets in Capricorn. And I want to say that this film came out of, you know, it's really cemented in this book. It's to go with this book that I'm still working through. I'm definitely 85% completed, but I was writing a chapter and wanted to see it. And I'm a visual person. And I'm like, well, someone should do something with all these camera angles because they're not doing a proper investigation. Mm-hmm. The FBI, if you think of like there's 40 FBI agents and tons of reports that we'll never see. And what was really behind it, and that's why I say in the film, was it a psyop that he wasn't supposed to die and something occurred, or mm-hmm. only some of the people thought he was going to die? And so it is very difficult to watch. And I had to be, I was like, the more I watch this, am I getting desensitized, or is that the reason why it becomes faker and faker as mm-hmm. far as certain things that just don't add up, that look contrived, right? Mm-hmm. So to keep that balance. But again, it's really to go with this book that will hopefully come out in the spring. And it is heavy, and I wanted to be sensitive about it, but I'm also pretty clinical kind of person.
Right.
And even though it might not seem like that, but when I write, it and this is my narration, it's very matter of fact. It's like, what are you going to say about this?
Sure.
And I want to also say, yeah, sorry.
No, you go ahead. Keep going.
I want to also say that it was for the first time that I was able to see it as a spectator, because the idea was, let me see the entire event so that when it comes to the end of the book, I can have a theory based also on all these facts that I have found. So it was the first time that I saw it just like 2 weeks ago without my director cap or producer cap mm-hmm. to be able to come up with a theory of how it could all fit together. And then also really relying on the audience, you people who watch it, to see what they glean and things that didn't obviously seem contrived.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, I think that the most obvious thing that comes out of the film, and when you kind of put all of the footage together in its totality, is that I felt this at the time, but you say it in the film that George Floyd was essentially the spark that lit the powder keg. And, you know, whoever was orchestrating the manner in which this information came out and the way that the public perceived it, I'm pretty certain that they were well aware of it, too. They knew that after so many years of rhetoric and divisive language and the stories and the way that the media was kind of portraying the way things were happening here in the United States, they knew that all it was going to take was just like one spectacular moment. And they used it to great effect. I mean, you know, you got to hand it to them. These people know how to ensure that a good crisis gets used in the best possible way. What was it? It was Obama's Chicago guy, Rahm Emanuel. Never let a good crisis go to waste. And that's exactly what happened.
Yeah. And the book is called The Multi-Layered PSYOP. Yep. Examined. And I say that if George Floyd was a stone, he would have killed a lot more than two birds, because it was so effective mm-hmm. and multi-purposeful. And it's Jack Posobiec that says that I quote his book. But I believe that after seeing it the way in its completion that it was designed. So on one end, you know, Joel Gilbert, who did directed the Trayvon Martin hoax and Michelle Obama 2024, mm-hmm. who was really a mentor and encouraging me to follow this hunch and follow these questions, which is how I came across this cover up at Cup Foods, which nobody else has right. reported on, right? And is a crux in this because it ties back to the money and how this all started. So on one end, he would argue that Benjamin Crump, that these kinds of stories come across their desk and they pluck them and co-opt them. And then on the other end, Sean Hibbler, who edited this and produced it, that I couldn't have realized my vision without him. And I looked hard to find him. On his perspective would be it's all fake. Mm-hmm. He could agree with me that based on what happened in the ambulance, that maybe he wasn't supposed to die. Maybe he was going to take like a Sleeping Beauty drug, or right. he was told that he was going to wake up, because there is very valid evidence that's not fully in the movie of him being an informant. Mm-hmm. And Maurice, there's a DEA investigator that I interviewed for the book says that there's a lot of unwitting informants. Mm-hmm. And so perhaps Maurice thought that he was no longer officially an informant, but he was, or he didn't know that he was going to give him drugs that would kill him, because I believe that he sincerely believes that Derek killed him because of blind spots. Mm-hmm. And now I saw Zach, how the system shafted him and mm-hmm. Let's just tie him up for 5 years so that he can't say anything, because he's a loose end.
You know, I'll be very interested to know what Maurice has to say once he is able to watch the documentary, because, you know, I mean, he was positioned on the other side of the block. You know, I mean, he's across the street. He didn't have the benefit of standing there. And certainly, you know, I think that he has been a victim of the media psyop about what happened to George Floyd just as much as any of the other useful idiots that are out there. You know, I mean, you have a lot of people, all they know is what they saw on CNN or what they saw on MSNBC or that 5 second clip of what appeared to be Derek Chauvin leaning on his neck. And the trail of condensed water coming off of the air conditioner, which I think everybody assumed was urine, you know, from George Floyd losing control of his bladder because he's dying. And nobody sought to clear that up. I think that everyone was aware, in terms of the media, everybody was aware that that's exactly how it would be perceived. It looked so damning. And So
that was cleared up, but no one really paid attention. The media lambasted, like they did such a shitty reporting of the trial. I mean, for me covering the trial and writing extensively, I'm like, oh, Derek's got it in the bag. Like they're contradicting themselves. Yeah. So it just shows how, say the lie over and over again. And to your point, absolutely. You know, I spoke to him before the film came out, and I felt a little bit guilty because I hadn't told him that I'm finished. Mm-hmm. And I didn't expect, or he doesn't know, that he's basically, in my opinion, like I said, he makes the film. Mm-hmm. He doesn't even realize, I think, what he says about the attorneys. Mm-hmm. He doesn't even see the full scope of it, because again, he, from his perspective, it is a racist system. And I want to say, so I sat in on the Zoom call for his sentencing. And so in the morning, I'm up because they're going to sentence Alexander Kang, and I'm on the WebEx government link. And I'm like, where are all the other journalists? Mm-hmm. I'm the only one. And you see the judge's name and the attorneys. And then someone who knows I follow sends me a tweet saying that he's been sentenced to 3 years. And I'm like, what? The thing hasn't even started. They're having problems with the public prisons bureau. It literally was postponed till 1 p.m. and it's 9:45 in the morning. And they're already telling us that he's sentenced for 3 years.
That's crazy.
So
I mean, dude, obviously, so that's somebody who's got an in at the courthouse, you know, getting the information leaked out. Okay, so he's in prison now for 3 years. I'm sorry, you were talking about.
Yes. So then that's in the morning. And then in the night, I have a Zoom and I told them I was going to sit on it. And there's friends. I see the mother. Everyone's off camera. And they treat him like not even a person. Mm-hmm. The judge is umming more than Jen Psaki. Just feels so guilty. And they ream him and they give him 5 years for something in 2019. And so he even had a lawyer, an older man retired, who said he'd take him into his home. Mm-hmm. And Maurice really did want to start afresh. And so at the very end, I unmuted myself and I said to the whole courtroom, you all made excuses for George Floyd's career criminal life and his addiction, but you won't give this black man a new chance. Mm-hmm. And only some black lives matter. And they shut down the whole Zoom.
Oh, that's brilliant.
Court bombed it. It went down. And so then I called the mother and I said, did you hear me? And she said, yes, her friends and family. I said, who is that woman? It's Mimi, the bee lady. And then I recorded it for my own consumption and I went to play it and somehow they scrubbed my voice at the end. I don't even know how they did that. Could they do that?
Yeah.
I don't even understand.
That's crazy. That's absolutely crazy. What were you going to say?
No, I was going to say they must have a setting that the audience, unless you're in the room, you can't, they won't pick up the voice. I know they heard me.
Okay.
Maybe something like that. Anyway, sorry.
Perhaps. All right. So we obviously saw Derek Chauvin's trial, very public, and his appeal case that was just this past week. Did that go through?
It was on the 18th and it was live streamed. So you can go to the government site and click on a Zoom link because that's how we do it these days. And it was very spotty and it crashed. And then I called the attorney, the firm, because they have my movie and they've saw the trailer. And I have meant to call William, who was the man testifying or making a case for Derek. They shot down the main points, which was this venue should have been changed. And then juror 52, Brendan Mitchell, who was, it found out that he was in August at a MLK rally wearing a BLM shirt. Mm-hmm. And the argument was that they could have brought it up in voir dire, which in actuality, I bought all the questionnaires of the jurors and I read juror 52, I would have flagged this. Mm-hmm. I would have said, this is not a impartial. And so that's the way the cookie crumbles. And the appeal attorney, who is not Eric Nelson, said that until it gets kicked up to the Supreme Court, nothing will really happen. And how long will that take? We're looking at 3 years. So it also ensures the aim, which was to keep George Floyd in the media as long as possible, because they literally got that direction. So if I were to ask you, Zach, who organized the funerals? I don't know if we've discussed this.
I know that he had several funerals, but no, I'm not aware as to who actually organized them.
It's a government PR firm.
A government PR firm. Okay.
And I can assure you that the government would not be organizing our funerals, let alone four. And, horse and carriage, just like I show in the movie. So that is quite out there that is the case. That firm, the person who is in charge, her aim was to keep George Floyd in the media as long as possible. Don't let people forget. No justice, no peace, and is associated with Al Sharpton. And that same firm was giving money to an NGO in the Ukraine in 2016 and associated to the Podesta group.
Mm.
So that's the same firm. when I had someone that was helping me with research, and when I said that, he's like, oh, so you've walked into the lion's den and now you've stuck your head in the lion's mouth. And then literally then he said a couple of days later, I'll be back. Mm-hmm. And then it came to me, is he going to delete our Telegram channel? Because it was after your show. Mm-hmm. This guy, I called him Run, and he's like, you're the only one who's done more research than I. And he does pattern recognition too. And he created this whole Telegram with it. We had like digs, like he was in the inner bowels with me. Mm-hmm. And then after that happened and I found that out, he deleted all. Luckily, I backed it up, but he deleted it. And he said, I can never do what you do. It scares me. And he disappeared.
That's crazy.
If you're out there, Run. Yeah, I say in my book, and then ran away. So
that's so funny. So how long do you think the book is going to be? How many chapters are we looking at?
It's about 16 chapters, and okay. I'm about chapter 14, but I'm very thorough. And now I've created a float document called The Leftovers, because I'm leaving for Mexico, and I'm determined to turn in a draft to the publisher, or else this will be the rest of my life. And I must, you know, like you said, it is dark, and like my roomie saw it, Sky, and okay, granted it was Christmas Eve, but he's like, this is really heavy. And I'm like, yeah, that's 1 hour of your life, dude. I've been doing this for a year and a half. Like, you can handle it.
How much footage did you actually have to comb through to be able to kind of distill it down to that hour and 5 minutes?
Yeah, that's a good question. Well, there's all the cameras. So if you think Darnella's camera, the body-worn footage, Derek's fell off, Dragon Walk, the milestone across the street, and then there was a few other from the exhibits, from the extras that didn't make the cut, I guess you could say. And then watching them hundreds of times. And that's how I found Mr. Adam. It was indirectly Maurice. And I'm like, what the fuck's with this Mr. Adam? Why are you talking about him so much?
Yeah.
Who is this guy?
This is actually, we talked about this a little bit the last time you were on the show, because, you know, Maurice says that when he's on the corner with Shawanda.
Yeah.
And then the police are, you know, trying to get their IDs, and they're asking questions about George. And, you know, she says, he's got something wrong with him. And then he's like, oh, I know Mr. Adam. You know, and we thought at that time, you know, just who the heck is Mr. Adam? You know, is this somebody who's a Minneapolis police officer? Yeah, but it turns out
I knew, but I was holding on to it until the movie. Because it is a cover up and it's pretty central. And I was joking, is Hamas going to come after me? Because these people are associated with, it's like a Hamas operation. If you look behind Cup Foods,
I want to talk about that. I want to talk about, tell me about this specifically. Because I mean, obviously, okay, Minnesota has a large Muslim population, and they're coming from not only the Middle East, but North Africa. So tell me, what
Somalia?
They're
Palestinian, but if you look into Mr. Adam, he owns about 14 different companies. It's interesting that actually in Minnesota they passed a law that forbids menthol cigarettes, but Mr. Adam has a special license, and in the end, you see. Maurice, he holds up the Newport cigarettes, and it's kind of like, to me, so I'm like, oh, this is like an indirect product placement, because it's funny that as they are smoking the cigarettes that George bought while he's getting killed, they're smoking the cigarettes that started all this. So there's a sick kind of irony. So back to Cup Foods, you know, this is a big chapter in my book, and, where I can really get into the details of, if you consider, Zach, the cameras that are across the street at the Speedway were there to keep an eye on Cup Foods. Mm-hmm. So it's in gangland. And you also have to wonder, how is it really that this store has remained erect and not burned down, mm-hmm. given the specific hate towards this building, yet they burned down, you know, innocent business owners.
Right.
So they had protection. They had protection. And when, for instance, I listened to the the BCA interview, which is the equivalent of the FBI in Minnesota, of mm-hmm. Tutau, that they weren't supposed to even be, well, Derek wasn't supposed to be at work. They were sitting down for lunch and they called off the backup, but it was Tao who said, let's go because it's in gangland and they're rookies. And when I spoke to a police brutality rep, and maybe I've shared this with you, she's like, oh, that's funny, because the Bloods, everybody knows that the Bloods work with the MPD, with the Minneapolis Police Department. So, but yet they went. And anyway, so you're, to answer your question, had to watch the videos over and over again. And it also, my discovery of Mr. Adam was asking myself, so who made the 911 call? Why did they drop in the trial Genevieve, the firefighter, and the chokehold expert, Donald Williams, who's the one who says, you're a bum, bro, you're a bum, right, over and over again? Why not the 911 call, which set this all up, to learn that there's a convenient Minnesota statute, which I say in the in the movie, which is why I recreated it with animation. And it was by reading the transcript and inferring, okay, this guy doesn't speak English. He doesn't even mm-hmm. know if it's a boy or a girl. Yeah. And it seems toward the end that someone takes over the call. And there was another, an author of a book that came out early that also picked up on this. And in the end, by reading stories and seeing how they lied over and over again on how this boy came to make this call. They mm-hmm. said that he made it on his own volition, which is an absolute lie.
Right.
And so that's how I discovered Mr. Adam. So what would be the explanation of why the guy lies and says he's not there, but yet finds the time to go and point them out, the car out to the cops? Doesn't make sense.
So that's that's my question. You know, I mean, why is it that you think they lied about the presence of Mr. Adam? I mean, they must have known that he would show up on the body cameras. You know, they must have known that at some point people would learn that he was the one who brought the cops out and pointed out George and Maurice and Shawanda.
But think of it, Zach. It's been 2.5 years. Who else has talked about this?
Sure, so I guess. Yeah, yeah. I mean, people forget about things. People don't care anymore. If somebody said it in the chat, this is old news. Well, you know, I still think that it's relevant because, yeah, I mean, what happened with George Floyd had a profound impact that changed America, you know, whether you care about it or not. I mean, for many of us, there was a direct connection to our lives. And I mean, you know, sitting here covering this on a daily basis, I mean, it was a profound effect.
So that comment is exactly why nobody knows why Mr. Adam is implicated, because people have fatigue and they don't pay attention to details. And in reality, this is so not old news, the story of what you think. But this movie, in 10 minutes, you'll learn more than the media ever told you.
Absolutely.
And I firmly believe that. I'm not saying that just arrogantly. So why is it, to answer your question, if I give you my opinion based on my findings, is that this was designed. And let's go back to, they did not show you the May 2019 arrest. They put, Judge Cahill put out a, basically saying it's not George Floyd that's on trial, so we cannot bring this fully, because you've never seen it. I'm assuming a lot of people haven't seen it in its entirety. Definitely wasn't shown in the trial. So there was the officer, Scott Crichton, that is like, you know, just put your hands on the on the dash. Like, what's going on? So that guy was brought in by Keith Ellison and Steve Schletzer to be a witness for the prosecution. So he is being interrogated. So what happened that day? And the guy says it was a narcotics investigation. Oh, it was a traffic stop. And he's like, no.
Narcotics.
It was a narcotics. And he's like, oh, it's a traffic stop. So then when they realize that Officer Crichton is not going to lie under oath, they're dismissed. So then he becomes a witness for Derek. And it's capped on what can be shown. So what do we know? What do I know? What have I gleaned? And also reporter Liz Collins, who is married to Kroll, who lost his job, a conservative, and who she lost her job, and he had to retire because they were conservatives, pointed out that it was a sting operation.
The 2019 arrest of George Floyd was a sting operation?
The 2019, so it was a sting operation. So imagine, this is what comes to my mind. Oh, you see, that thing that you did, George, do it again, but this time say, I can't breathe. Because I personally do not buy, let's say Joel would say, Joel Gilbert, that this was co-opted. I don't buy the 27 times I can't breathe while we're bringing in mask mandates is a coincidence. I just don't.
It was the next day, like the day after he dies, all of a sudden. Yeah, people can't breathe for real.
Right. And it's a sick ritual to wear these face diapers while you're saying, I can't breathe. Like, if we just really think about it for a moment, and we're saying it in unison, so it's collective energy. So I think that if he was an informant, and again, something could have gone wrong with the drugs. For all we know, there was, you know, Zach and I looked at cyanide, how
that makes you foam at the mouth, doesn't it? Doesn't that make you foam with the mouth if you actually take cyanide?
Yeah, that I don't remember per se, but the asphyxia without any bruises, because in this new rendition of reality, the way they've played Broken Telephone, now literally you can be asphyxiated without drugs by someone without any bruising.
Trust me.
They yeah, exactly. So they have muddled the autopsy and they screwed with Andrew Baker so badly that by the time three trials later, especially in the federal trial that no one paid attention to, it seemed to me that I was like, wow, what's on the stand? It was like the 588-page manual was on the stand. They were dissecting it. They was bringing training division. It was like, oh, this is a live scenario. And now we're doing postmortem on how it all shook down. That's how it felt. That's how it felt to me. And they even say, have you designed a duty to intervene exercise? And someone says, yes, but we never played it out. I would say this could have been played out.
Sure.
And as a result, while no one's paying attention, 3,000 bills have been considered. 17 states have changed their duty to intervene. In reality, in Minnesota, in Minneapolis, was a surveillance project that Open Net that occurred leading up to the Derek Chauvin trial, but that never concluded. So this police surveillance vibe, all of this is happening, and people like this guy, is like, oh, this is all news. Okay. Meanwhile, it has a real impact on our lives.
Right, right. So what happened after that 2019 arrest? Did George serve any jail time? I mean, did he get charges?
No. I learned a new term, Zach. And it's called exceptionally cleared.
Exceptionally cleared. Is that on paper or is that just something that you came across in terms
it's on
of
the No. It's on two cases that I found with actually, one with Maurice, who I know was a snitch for a hot minute, and actually two with George. So if you just were to entertain my theory, is he serves in Texas, aggravated robbery. If they recruit him as part of a sting operation. So I asked myself, I wonder if there's a drug corridor between Texas and Minnesota. Oh, there is. He was driving a truck, although they underplayed it. But in this book that I found by two Washington Post, in this book, they even have dialogue with George. Like, that's fiction. How did you have dialogue with George? He's dead. And they have totally recreated So in this book, it says that he loved the open road. Who knew? And that he used to talk about it with Felonese Floyd, his supposed brother. Mm-hmm. And we know that I know that he, I saw a court.
Is that, is that the one who called him Greg? Is that the one who called him Greg?
No, that's someone else. That's Stephen Jackson, to keep up with the theme of the twins.
Yeah.
What did you think of that? Had you seen that?
I had seen that. I had seen that. But it was just seeing it again within the context of the film. You know, I was just like, you know, how well does he really know this guy? You know, and it's, to call somebody the wrong name in that moment, it just looked like he was, it was so contrived. I mean, like, he didn't really know him, obviously, if he doesn't know his freaking name. And then also the clip of his son being coached in front of Cup Foods, you know,
it's
like
not his son.
It's so emotional, you know. All we want is justice.
I don't think it's
and he's
his
just
son.
Repeating it. I was like, oh my God. I was like, I can't believe that they're on camera showing this. I had seen that too, a clip of that long time ago, and completely forgot about it. But both of those, I mean, it's just like over and over and over again. I mean, like, how fake can you make it?
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I personally don't think that that's a real son. And, you know,
well,
the reason
he didn't have his name. I was, you know, when they introduced him, he had a different last name. So, you know, he was like, my dad was always there for me. He was so there for you that he didn't even give you his name. I mean, come on.
Yeah, George was a deadbeat dad, is the truth. I don't know what he did with Gianna Pink Floyd, who has become now the only heir of the estate. So the reason why I took George Floyd out of the title and I just made it the real timeline and the hashtag is the real timeline is because I was indirectly or thinly veiled threat by the estate of George Floyd. So I found a disallowance claim paper that stated that there's a man that claims that he's the biological father of George Floyd.
Okay.
So I called the estate. And I thought, you know, they could say, some wacko thinks he's George Floyd's dad. They could have just said that. I called twice, no answer. So then I called again and I said, I've been commissioned to write a book and I worked for MSNBC to be like, I'm one of you.
Sure,
I'm
sure.
Safe. Call me. Next day, calls right away. And then she says, it's in your best interest not to write a book. And I said, what? I put it on speaker and I said, excuse me, are you saying in the United States of America that I'm not allowed to write a book on a public figure?
Wow.
And she just paused and she goes, yes. And I said, oh, let me get that on record. And I was walking into my office. She goes, I don't give you permission to record me. I said, okay, let me just grab a pen. What was that? And she just clicked. Yeah. And then I had actually spoken to a Meshuggo, some Asian man in Florida who had June 5th, 2020, got the trademark for George Floyd. So then I looked again. And I had spoken to him and he said, no, it's inactive. So I looked again after that call and I found 12 trademarks, everything under the sun possible, from keychains to cups to t-shirts to pajamas to tapestries, to educational purposes. Like, I list it all in my book. So they're creating, like my girlfriend said, a theme park, a George Floyd theme park.
What? That's a little morbid and exploitative.
Yeah, absolutely. To have a George Floyd, you can go on Amazon and look at all the shtick, all the paraphernalia. Who's collecting on that? Obviously, it's them because they own all the trademarks.
Wow. Wow. So that guy who had initially purchased the trademark for George Floyd, do you think that he sold it to the family? Okay. Wow. That's incredible. There are people out there who will do that, like trademark, like squatters, basically. Like as soon as something gained some prominence, they did that to me. Like after my channel took off, I went to go buy redpill78.com, and it was already bought up. It was like 2 months after I started my channel, and they wanted to sell it for like $15,000, and I was like, absolutely not. Like I'm not going to pay you that much money. So, but yeah, this is what they do. It's crazy.
It was written up June 5th, 2020 in Variety magazine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Like it was a thing. I would imagine they said you're not allowed, or they somehow usurped it. I don't know if he sold it to them. I don't know. That's a good question. Did he even get some money for it, or did they bully him? Because when Maurice, he's like in the movie, he goes, the family didn't give, or he says to me, the family didn't give the government their blessings. Like basically, if the Floyd family had said something to the government, he would have been untouched. And I said to him, like, what do you think? The Floyd family, they're royals or something? Like, it's the other way around, dude. It's the government that's calling the shots. But you know, he's blinded. Maybe the film will change his mind.
So here's my question. Who is actually the administrator of the Floyd estate? Like, you know, and what is its structure? Like, because that little girl, what, she's like 9 years old or something like that. And I would imagine that anybody that's around her would probably be trying to get a piece of that. I mean, we're talking many millions of dollars, right?
Right. Who the hell knows? There's a foundation too. Mm. And Bridget, I'll answer your question, but Bridget Floyd has, they recreated like a PSA of when George, he's been separated from Bridget. It's like based on their story, and it's about like Big Brother. It's very, very cheesy. Roxy Washington is the baby mama, but they have stated that there's baby mamas that have come to the forefront and that she's the only heir. So basically saying that there's grifters and they're not real and are just claiming this, like this supposed dad that there's only a registered agent. It's a PO box. There's no email. There's no phone. And I haven't written to him. So who knows? But I will tell you also that this is in my book. It's not in the movie. And this is, maybe I've told you off in text, but finding that judgment order for $5 million for a baby mama and a son that nobody has talked about, meaning the press has hidden their identity.
Yeah.
And that the judgment order is dated May 1st, 2020, 24 days before the guy dies. Mm-hmm. So what is that?
So,
you know, have
you found anything to say that has been paid off? Like, was that woman and that child paid from the many millions of dollars that resulted from his death?
Yeah, well, the mother, I can't get her. There's all the numbers lead nowhere. She owns a company called Comets Cheerleading Association that has no history or footprint. And the son, so I took his social security number because I have it, and I took his name and I put it, you know, when I want to look up matrixy things, then I'll go to Google and see what Google brings me. And it brought up, he was born in Texas.
Yeah.
It brings up an LLC based on his name in Minnesota. Oh, it's just, you know, Zach's like, well, that's a false positive. Oh, it just so happens it's in Minnesota and it's his son's name. And it's a company with a registered agent in Pennsylvania, which I looked up on Google Earth to look at the house. Like really going as micro as possible, but there's a lot of dead ends. There's a lot of dead ends. And there's a lot of red herrings too. There's red herrings, and I've learned, thanks to George, that in these false flags, and maybe it's similar with JFK, I don't know that as much, maybe you do, that they purposely put stuff to get the conspiracy theorists.
Yes, yes, that's absolutely true. I think that was what happened with that lawyer who came forward from Texas to say that, oh, that's Timothy not George Jaffe. Floyd. Yeah, yeah. Yes, there he is. The same guy who was arrested for human trafficking not that long ago, right around the same time that Mar-a-Lago was raided. I want to say it was within 24 hours he was arrested for human trafficking. That was Shocking. Now, how much money did the estate get? Because I see a number of different figures here. I see one figure for $27 million from the city of Minneapolis. I see another for $34 million. I know that there was a GoFundMe that raised about $10 million.
Yeah, let's rack it up, baby. Mm-hmm. So $27 million is the civil suit, biggest in history. And then Philanese broke a record on GoFundMe. $13 million plus. Wow. And the $34 million, I don't know, but there's other GoFundMe that those are notes in my book when I'm not there yet of counting all the GoFundMe. Mm-hmm. So far I've just touched upon, you know, even the estate. It's like, who is in charge? This law firm that threatened me. A woman who was the director of one of the trademarks went to work for a very scary PR company for the EU.
Mm-hmm.
Who are these people? This, as we know now, I think we could say that there's a lot of laundering going on in the United States.
Sure,
it's a pastime, right? So mm-hmm. I don't think that they want the complicity of the government to come out, that very possibility of what's really going on underneath. So, for instance, a red herring, we talked about Timothy Jaffet, who was talking about George Floyd dying in 2015, 2016. Just to reiterate that I pulled all the death records for the entire 2 years and scoured through all the names. There was no George Floyd and there was no Floyd George, because in reality, the 88 Yates is a Floyd George. They created the media and the government, I guess, created a composite of who George Floyd is to bolster his reputation and detract from his career criminal existence. So
right.
When I call the schools, oh, conveniently, did I tell you this last time? Conveniently, they had no yearbooks, and then they cited FERPA. I was like, FERPA? It's like HIPAA for students.
Okay. So they can't give any information out. I mean,
no.
Did you try tracking down any perhaps like contemporaries of George Floyd from his days in school? Like, nobody else had any yearbooks either?
So, I didn't get that far. But a boy, he was 7 at the time, now he's a young man, was at that game and was with his brother, and they called out Floyd George. And I think I've told you this last time, they busted out laughing because it reminded them of George Floyd. And he had the whatever it's called that day of the game and the players. Okay. And I have it in my book, images of Floyd George. So then there's a couple of people, him and someone else on Facebook, that we've been trying to get a response from this one colleague. And I left him a voicemail and I said, look, I know that's not George Floyd. It's Floyd George. Mm-hmm. And so what do you have to say about yourself? You're being used. You think Black Lives Matter? The government doesn't care. Mm-hmm. You know what he responded? I don't know what to say to you.
Oh, wow.
Don't worry. Yeah, don't worry. You've said a lot with that one response.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Yeah. That's absolutely crazy. Real quick, let me go through a couple of these thank yous over on Foxhole. We've only got a couple. J-Bell, thank you very much for dropping that phone, starting it out. Pacific Northwest Sasquatch says, thanks, Red Pill. And Matt1776, one of the creators of the Foxhole, says, what's good, Red Pill? Good to see you, buddy. And then Porpoiseful, thank you very much for that cookie. Fox Lonely German, yes, the Foxhole is an app that you can install on your phone as a web app. So you can't download it in the App Store, but if you go to thefoxhole.app and then add it to your home screen, it'll show up as an icon and it'll act in the same way that any other app does on your phone. And you can actually do the same with Rumble if you're on the iPhone, so that you can send super chats if you feel so inclined, because you can't do it through the native iOS app. And the reason is because Rumble takes like 20%, Apple takes 30%, and then that would leave the creator with 50% of what you intended to donate. So That's why that's going on. I also learned from my contact at Rumble that when you put out a pre-recorded show, no notifications go out. The only way that you get notifications is if you are doing a live stream. And I'm certain that's probably because most video services today really want people to be live streaming because there's the audience interaction and, you know, you kind of get this excitement factor. But I think what I'm going to do in the future, in case anybody here watches the pre-recorded shows, is I'm going to start live streaming them from my computer. So I'll start the show, I'll do a little introduction, then I'll play it on the computer, and then we can watch it together, kind of like when I was on YouTube and we could do the premieres and stuff. So I'll do that in the future. Okay, Lonely German says, I use my PC. So yes, yeah, so you can go to the foxhole.app on your PC and it'll still work in the same way. Okay. Thank you very much, Debbie, out there for dropping the links. And actually, you guys, I shared this earlier, but I want to share it again. If you feel so inclined, if you want to watch the film and see what Miriam has put together, I think that you should, obviously, go to this link. It's available on Movies Plus. You can use code BLADY and save 20%. And obviously, if you purchase the film, you're going to be supporting Miriam and her work. Miriam, you mentioned that you are...
Can I...
Go ahead.
Sorry. I want to make a distinction because there's a subscription for the entire year because there's a lot of awesome titles. But that's for B-Lady. That's for the subscription. You can just rent the movie for only a measly $4.99. So...
Oh. Okay.
You can buy it for $14.99 or you can go to $29. This is not my company. I would not be able to view, I would not be able to offer you the money and try to sell this to recuperate all my hard work when in fact I haven't even made the halfway mark for a measly $15,000. I mean, it's pretty redonkulous given the caliber of this subject. I mean, with the evidence here. So you, just to make the distinction, they allowed me to sell it on GeorgeFloydDocumentary.com, which SAC designed for me, but my, it's Vimeo. Vimeo only accepts PayPal. And so I can't without my Movies Plus.
That's so weird.
Could you believe it? It's 2023 and you're only taking money from PayPal. Okay.
Wow. Lonely German over on Rumble said, thanks. Thank you very much for the donation, buddy. I appreciate it. there was something else that I wanted to touch on from the film. I lost it. There was something else that really struck me. Oh, my gosh. I had it on the tip of my tongue. I was waiting until you were
done
speaking.
It'll come back.
It'll come back.
Do you want to show anything to the audience or any clips?
Absolutely. I've got the film pulled up here. Is there anything in particular that you think that we should pull up? Just give me a timestamp and I'll go to it.
Well, we can go to 34, around 30 mark, actually, in regards to – I don't want to show it all, but – We've talked about Tu Tao and his little motion.
Oh, that's a good one. Yes. Okay, so definitely.
Do you think that's too spicy?
No, not at all. Okay, so Low Country Brooklyn, the link to moviesplus.com/products with the name of the film, that is to purchase or rent the film, $4.99 to rent and $14.99 to purchase. Movies Plus, the streaming service, has a monthly subscription that will allow you to watch everything, like a Netflix or a Hulu or something like that. And if you sign up for that subscription, I would imagine it's probably like, you know, I don't know, $10 a month or something, maybe $15 a month.
It's $29 for the whole year. For the whole year, they just put out Q Sent Me, which is about the Q Shaman, and they had filmed with him. Jason Rink had filmed with him. Just they had noticed him way previously, and it's amazing. Have you seen that movie?
I haven't. I'll check it out though for sure. But if you go to the website then and just sign up for the yearly membership, then you get 20% off if you use B Lady. So what we're going to show here is something that, to me, really seals the deal on the coordinated nature of this multi-layered psyop, which is the actions of Tu Tao He kind of sends a signal. You guys will see it here. So I'm going to go ahead and play it. And here we go.
Got him, claustrophobic. Get in the car. Get in the car.
Get in the front.
Please. No, you're not getting in the front.
I'm claustrophobic. So
get in the car.
Okay, man. Okay. I'm not a bad guy, man.
Get in the car.
I'm not a bad guy.
I hope I gave you the right code here. The electrical car.
Yeah, here we go.
Moving. Most don't know this, but George is the one who hit his face against the plexiglass twice. It's a little. That's why his face was bleeding. Floyd was 6'6".
Okay, hang on. Sorry.
I think it might be 34. Sorry.
34. Okay.
Well,
oh, yeah, because here comes Darnella Frazier. That was the thing. Darnella Frazier, you guys, the woman on screen, she's the one who got, like, the footage of Derek leaning on George's neck. She won a $700,000 for a Pulitzer Prize. I'm sorry, or maybe it was $700,000 for a GoFundMe and a Pulitzer Prize. I couldn't believe it.
That's right. And I want to say that she got a special thank you from Meryl Streep. And a personal thank you from Spike Lee, and that there was an article that is now 404 because maybe it was just too much for even the deep state that compared her camera moves to Scorsese for reals.
Scorsese.
So she is a rich woman. And the day before, now it's scrubbed, but I scoured her Facebook. And she did a live where she's like, the corona was fun for a while, but I've got to stack my money back up. Yeah,
wow.
You sure did, honey.
That's class.
God heard you. God heard you.
All right. So here, I've actually got it to the correct point now.
Okay,
here we go. Two towels.
Described himself that day as a human traffic cone, joined the MPD in 2009. Pay close attention. He's going to turn around and make a little gesture, and then all the bystanders move in unison as if on cue. Let's play it a few times, shall we? Just to make sure. Better yet, I'll go to Two Tao's camera and you can decide for yourself. And action.
Well, you got it down, man.
So, what do you think?
I think that it's pretty obvious that he definitely motioned for them to come over.
A human catastrophe is closing in. Nobody knows how far this one is going to go. You can feel the heat as tension is rising globally. War is expensive. Open a Noble Gold Investments IRA today, and you can claim a free 3-ounce silver American Virtue coin. Just use the promo code GOLD. Go to NobleGoldInvestments.com now.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
Can't think of a logical reason that he would have made that hand movement if it wasn't a scripted scenario. You know, I mean, like, you know, first of all, there is like this contention between the crowd and the police, you know, and that happens every time there is a crowd that gathers around a scene where somebody's trying to be arrested or is resisting arrest, and the police want them to stay away. You know, I've never seen a scene like this where the cops are like, you know, come on. It's time, guys. It's time. Get your cameras out.
So I was in San Francisco and I was really excited about watching this angle from a wide shot across the street. And it's very subtle, right? So I remember very clearly saying, Zach, come and take a look at this. And he's like, nah. And I was like, to myself, I'm like, oh yeah, mofo, I'm going to go to his camera and we'll see if I'm just making things up. And then I was like, oh my God, the guy's literally, because he can't talk into the camera, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he just like, yeah, it's now time.
Yeah.
So that was a big score. I'm like, okay, this is why, because I still watch it and see new things. Like recently I saw that, you know, this is very little, but in the theme of the twins, Twin City, Twin Brothers, the month of Gemini, which is the twins. And then there was twin, like double bikes in the background passing through. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, that's just, you know, pattern recognition, just seeing patterns. But there's definitely a theme of twins, which is very much a theme of the Illuminati. What did you think of the Myron Fagan quote? Did you see that at the end? That there's talk.
Please. What did you think of? I can't remember it off the top of my head, but okay. Please.
So basically, I'm as I'm writing, I have a bazillion tabs and I'm always learning. And so I was listening to Myron Fagan, who I found on archive.com.org in looking up something about the Illuminati. And he was a playwright from Hollywood. So this is a 2 hour. It's like you could listen to it many, many times and just takes you through all this history. And then I come across this bit that talks with guilt. And that is how we will bring America down to our cause.
To communism.
And it was to communism. Yes, exactly. So when I heard that, I'm like, oh my God. And then I thought that's a good way to kind of, you know, because you could be doing a film for many, many hours. The fact that I brought it down to an hour and five. And again, I could not have done this without Sean Hibbler. And the reason why it took this long, but in the end, it was all perfect to have. You know, I screened it in South Beach on my 50th birthday, and I was expecting like maybe 8 people, and we had like 25 people come in, and they really enjoyed it and were like blown away by the amount of work, the investigation, and the stuff they'd never seen before. And then released it on MLK, and then have an oral appeal 2 days later, live streamed. So it all worked out. So Sean Hibbler did Fluvid 19. He's done other films as well. Is it Level One or Another Level? And he's a very gifted human. And he did Psychological Operation in August 2020, which I had seen. And I had an editor that was just wasting 6 months of my life, really, and money, and did nothing because he didn't even sync my narration to my video, to my. Anyway, so it was late at night, and I'm like, maybe this guy. I was like really praying, please, God, send me someone who's open-minded, who knows this story, because I'm so deep in it. I can't school you on this. Mm-hmm. And I wanted someone, I wanted to collaborate with someone who was like into what I was finding. So just big shout out to Sean.
Awesome. Listen, we've got to take a break for.
Yes, I'm sorry.
Welcome to call in if you want to talk about this or any other work that Miriam has done. And when we get back, I want to play that that Myron Hibbard clip if we can. Okay. Sure. So we'll be right back. Okay, awesome. And hang on, let me fast forward to that section of the movie. You don't remember the timestamp on that, do you? I know it's right at the.
When I received a newspaper clipping of an item published by the Washington, D.C. Evening Star in May 1957. That item was a verbatim reprint of the following excerpt in Israel Cohen's book, A Racial Program for the 20th Century. And it reads as I quote, "We must realize that our party's most powerful weapon is racial tension. By propounding into the consciousness of the dark races that for centuries they have been oppressed by the whites, we can mold them to the program of the Communist Party. In America, we will aim for subtle victory. While inflaming the Negro minority against the whites, we will instill in the whites a guilt complex for their exploitation of the Negroes. We will aid the Negroes to rise to prominence in every walk of life, in the professions and in the world of sports and entertainment. With this prestige, the Negro will be able to intermarry with the whites and begin a process which will deliver America to our cause."
That's absolutely insane to hear, because right? I'll be damned if they didn't do it.
Right? Yeah. Well, this is 1967.
Yes. Now, Israel Cohen, the author of that clip, he's listed as a, well, on Wikipedia, he's listed as a Zionist. That's his title. Israel Cohen, Zionist. I'm not familiar with him, but this is definitely somebody that I would go ahead and and dig in on. So there's obviously there's a number of Israel Cohens, but the one who's still alive is probably not the one who wrote that.
Well, just like I offer on MiriamHinnane.com, the book on Tavistock that was $5,000 on Amazon. It was then brought down to $500, but you could just come to my site and donate, you know, as little as $2 and get the PDF, and it will rearrange your brain as to what's going on. And I looked at whether there was Tavistock links in George Floyd. So it fell in my lap. It fell. That's what the editor told me. So it's August. Mm-hmm. And I know I was in Costa Rica, and when I saw it, I'm like, oh my God, what grown man acts like this?
Yeah.
This is exactly like a little bitch. What's going on? So then right away, I thought I'm going to contact the journalist who dropped that story, and it happened to be an editor that I used to leak vapid Hollywood gossip when I worked for, I freelanced for In Touch and People magazine back when I was still in the matrix and didn't see through. It was like, oh, I'm in Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
I saw Jennifer Aniston, you know, like, reading about Tavistock, I'm like, I wonder if Tavistock has links to the Daily Mail. Well, Lord Northcliffe, who owned the Daily Mail, was buddy-buddy with Rothschild, and the Daily Mail was integral in brainwashing. And you can see how with the COVID narrative, how there's been many stories in the Daily
And I'm going to bring them in right now. Caller, you're on the air. Can we get your name?
Oh, you're talking to Black Yoda.
Hey, Black Yoda. Good to hear from you, buddy.
How are y'all doing tonight? Because I'm about to go on Reasonable TV. Reasonable TV just went live just a little while ago. And I saw you, and I was just like, you know what? They need more callers. So can y'all slot me in just on, like, what y'all been talking about? I just woke up like 15 minutes ago.
We've been talking. Miriam Hinnane is the guest tonight, and we're talking about her new documentary about the George Floyd PSYOP that took place a couple years ago. It's called The Real Timeline. And what she's done is she took all of the video from the security cameras around Cup Foods, within Cup Foods, all of the police body camera footage, all of the cell phone footage that was available, and she put it together in a cohesive narrative, kind of dissecting what really happened, because obviously there was a narrative that the mainstream media wanted to portray that wasn't exactly what happened.
Yeah.
So when you say PSYOP, I'm a black guy, and mm-hmm. keep in mind, I just woke up 15 minutes ago.
Sure.
Literally 15 minutes ago. I'm a black guy, Miss Slady, and from what I can see from your picture, I do not agree with the whole George Floyd, you know, golden casket and just all of that nonsense. I do not agree with that.
Yeah, because truth this has was, no this color.
Wait, hold on. Please, right? That was bullshit. That was complete and utter bullshit. And as a black man, it makes me feel distasteful to see the way they did it. Oh my God, I will leave that one at that, because that was ugly on how they did that shit in the news, in the media, and they just used this man's name. Wasn't the motherfucker a porn star at one point?
He did a porn, yeah. He did a porn.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I dedicate this movie to Maurice And Maurice got the shaft, and he's black, and only some black lives matter, and truth has no color. And I learned the other day that even though I'm brown, you could still be anti-black. Some troll. Some troll goes, you know, you could be brown because I'm brown.
For the record, my son is brown. His mother is Hispanic, right? My son is more black. No, I'm saying this wrong. My son is more brown than he is black. Because I'm half black, right? Mm-hmm. But it doesn't change the fact that it's not about color, mm-hmm. right? And media does so much divisiveness, like when it comes to, you know, between people. And
right.
keeping you off of your the directive or the narrative,
mm-hmm.
what's important. You
Absolutely.
Know, all you have to do is look up facts. And it pisses me off because nobody asks black people. Nobody ever asked black people, hey, black people, how do you feel about this? And they just, every time they get a news topic, they just shove it down your throat. They don't ask black people. They don't ever ask, hey, black people, how do you feel about this? Now, Zach, I know you respect me. Black children, right?
Absolutely.
Well, we agree with you. I mean,
it does. It really does piss me off. But I want to bounce back over to Reasonable TV. Hey, everybody out there in the chat, Reasonable TV going live right now. Y'all need to participate. But I got to bounce out because, you know, I want to go do that. But at the same time, I do want to address this. There's things that take place that aren't necessary. And mm-hmm. you got to pay attention to what's really going on around you. You have to be a truther. You have to have a root in the truth. Yeah. And the Bible tells you, speak the truth and you will find it. Real simple.
Absolutely.
Zach, can I close with that?
Absolutely, brother. Thank you for calling in. I appreciate it, even if it was just for a moment.
I love you, bro. I love you, bro. Hey, and the cutie that you have in the mic. Find me on Facebook.
Well, catch the show later on tonight. Catch the replay. All right.
Later. Yep.
We'll see you. Peace. All right. So, yeah, you know, I think that Black Yoda's comments there go right hand in hand with that clip that we just heard from Myron Fagan, you know, talking about. I mean, that's exactly what they've done. I mean, you know, for all of the rhetoric, for all of the propaganda that they put out, you know, all the messaging that's directed at black people designed to make them feel as if they're victims and if they are forever and perpetually put upon. And the only way that they can, I guess, come out of that is to make white people feel like there's some unforgivable sins that have been committed. You know, that's exactly what they've done. They keep a whole sector of the United States population in this sort of mentality that they can't rise up. They can't become something themselves, self-actualize. And the only way to do that is through the victimization of other people. I found this really interesting channel on YouTube recently. His name is Charlie. He's an Asian kid and he used to be a leftist. And during the height of the pandemic, when there was all of this anti-Asian hate crimes that were taking place, and he was following a couple of different accounts. One of them would honestly report on every single case of anti-Asian hate that would take place. And we're talking like people coming up and sucker punching old Asian ladies or, you know, old guys pushing them in front of trains and stuff. And they would post pictures of the perpetrators, regardless of what their race was. And then this other account would post about anti-Asian hate crimes, but they would only post the perpetrators if they were white people. And even if they were black people, they would insinuate that the cause was from the inherent white supremacy in the United States. And so he kind of had this red pill moment and woke up and he's been producing videos talking about, you know, what's happening to Caucasians in America, you know, like this attitude that it's suddenly okay, that it has been okay to openly be racist against white people, and that because some white people some time ago ever held slaves, it's okay to basically treat them as subhumans now, and it's awful, it's horrible.
It's awful. It's awful. It's very Christian-like, being mm-hmm. sarcastic. I'm being sarcastic at the hypocrisy. And, you know, I'm not of, like, an eye for an eye. I'm more like turn the other cheek. And it's like I was thinking of that in this day and age. Is there really any environment that is applauding good behavior or goodness? Like now there's like no accountability, and it's really inverted and sad. Again, I dedicate this film to Maurice. Maurice called me yesterday and wished me happy birthday, and he was so chipper, and I'm like, the dude's in jail. And I'm like, what are you eating, Maurice? I he's reading a lot of self-help books. He asked me to mail him a thesaurus and a Bible, and he told me, because I told him, you know, what was happening with, like, I have to move, and he's like, but you're a believer. And I just, like, you know, I sent him via JPay. Did you know about JPay?
No.
You have to, if I want to send an email to Maurice, I have to pay for the two stamps. It's like such a racket. And I sent him a JPEG of a marlin, because when he learned I was in Florida, he's like, I'd love to go and fish for marlin. And I just feel bad for him, Zach, because here you have a black man that wanted to, who thought sincerely, and I believe it, to start afresh. And he got the shaft by the government that doesn't give a crap about his black life. Just virtue signal.
No, it's absolutely true. Yeah, it's totally true. So I also want to talk about what happened to the other officers in this scenario, because their trials have not been as public, not in the same way that Derek Chauvin's was. Now, you mentioned that what happened to Tutau?
So Tutau refused to plead guilty. Mm-hmm. And he's the only one who didn't struck a plea. He has decided, though, to leave it up to the judge. And so we await his sentencing, because he was described himself as the human traffic cone, and he was just manning the traffic and didn't have his hands on George. Alexander Kang, as we know, the ABC knew that's the thing, that the hearing literally had not started. So how would they know what the sentencing is going to be?
Yeah, that's crazy.
So anyway, that's Alexander King, got 3 years. They're all out of state prisons. And Thomas Lane made a plea and got 3.5 years. And he did literal chest compressions. And I learned recently that Thomas Lane was 6'7". So he's actually even taller than George. But nonetheless, it took three guys to, you know, that's why I show in slow-mo the car moving back and forth. And again, his nose was bleeding. And the idea, people thought that the police did that. But why? In the trial, it comes out that Alexander Kang testifies that George bashed his own face against the plexiglass. And, mm-hmm. you know, again, also the line, when I'm scared as fuck, when I stop breathing, it's going to go off on me, man.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe we've discussed this before, of like, what does that mean?
He makes a lot of really, really strange statements. Like, I mean, strange in any respect, but I mean, particularly unnerving just because of what actually happened, you know? I mean,
right.
Here's the one thing that I did consider, you know, I mean, he had OD'd before, hadn't he? I mean, like, he would have known the dangers of, you know, swallowing everything that he had on him, right? So, I mean, like, perhaps maybe he was thinking about that, you know, like, he said, I ate too many drugs. I mean, it's so clear to me.
But why, when I stop breathing, it's going to go off on me, man. Yeah. What exactly, you know, given that I can't breathe 27 times. Mm-hmm. So it's possible what you're saying. Someone else said he knew he was feeling his heart, and his heart attack was going to go off. But absolutely, he had, just in March 2020, as the Rona was kicking in, he was in OD'd twice. He almost OD'd twice and went to the hospital. Courtney Ross admits that, testifies that on the stand. So also in a conspiratorial fashion that if there is an operation like the Ozarks, but on COVID-19, and initially I thought, oh, well, they have all this, they have this fake cash and they're out of a job. And now he's become a liability for this operation, whether it's for the cops or for the Sinaloa cartel and Maya, and he's becoming a liability. So could it be that if Derek, just kind of speculating that Derek is MK Ultra'd and or does a hit straight, like, because who would look straight into the camera? He looks straight into the camera and, you know, yet he goes to the hospital. And why does he continue to? It is odd, isn't it? Unless he, he wasn't supposed to die. Let's go check up on him. And I don't know. It's like really wanting to know has driven me of like, I just want to know. I just want the truth. I just want to, you know, the irony. I'll just say this real quick.
Yeah.
Derek met his wife, Kelly, at Hennepin Healthcare Emergency because she used to work in the ER. And then here you have him on camera. Anyway, that's it.
So have you tried to reach out to any of these officers? I mean, do you think, because I honestly, interviewing Derek Chauvin would be the most interesting, I think. But talking to any of them, I think, would be a real coup. And I realize that as appeals may be happening, they probably are not going to want to speak to anybody. But have you tried?
Oh, yeah. I've written to Derek before he was moved to Arizona. And when I put my trailer out, there was someone who was working on behalf of Carolyn or the fund Gifts and Go to raise money for Derek's appeal because it's out of his pocket. And she had never seen the footage of little Nabil saying he probably OD'd. And so then she eventually blocked me, but I've also, you know, I sent my movie to the appeals attorney, and probably by next week he will have watched it. The main attorney watched it, and I have tried to reach. I've reached out to all of them: Robert Pauly, Earl Grey, and Thomas Plunkett. I wanted to speak to Alexander Kang because it was Alexander Kang who filed a motion asking for everything regarding George being an informant, but none of them could talk to me.
Interesting. Did the lawyer have any comment after watching it?
Well, the lawyer that is my contact had seen the trailer. And when he saw the trailer, he goes, wow, this is really good. I want to see the rest of it. And then I said, yeah, I want to see the rest of it too. I'm trying to get the editor paid and finish this movie, which, yeah. So last time I talked to him, it was after the live stream, and I called him like, did you know that the live stream went down? And he didn't know. They put it out so people can go and listen to it. I think I put it up on Gab, what I did catch. And then he just said Bill, who's the main attorney, he felt I have his number. I was supposed to call, but I didn't in light of what happened with my home and having to move.
Sure.
So I will. But I have tried to reach out to them. And again, when I told the friend that's working for the family, Carolyn doesn't have to talk to me. I'll talk to her. I'll tell her what I learned. And then she blocked me on Twitter, which, by the way, welcome back and welcome to me back.
Thank I've you. Only hey, congratulations.
2 years. Yeah. 2 years, 10 appeals, right?
Yep, exactly.
Very happy. Very happy to. But anyway, so I also see these blocks. Like, why aren't they talking to me?
Yeah.
Because
the information that you're digging up, I mean, it could be of use to him. Like, I don't understand why they would block you. That's just so strange.
Yeah, exactly. Initially, even Joel got on the phone with me to speak. I mean, I have open communication with Greg, the appeals attorney. So he's a conservative. So I have open communication, but the appeal is not to retry the case. The appeal is to look at the parameters of the things that they did wrong, including including having, I mean, look, to me, it's like it's orchestrated also in the fact like no reasonable judge would argue that this is not an impartial jury. That, that you could arguably go to effing Kenya and not get a impartial jury.
Yeah, I mean, that alone right there should vacate whatever verdict he had. I mean, that's just completely unfair.
Exactly. So if the a deal was, okay, well, when it gets to the Supreme Court, because really anyone, how could any of these judges or lawyers think that this is a fair trial? And the prosecution team does think. And I've just given you earlier one example of them straight up trying to bully a witness to lie on the stand. Hello? Mm-hmm. Like, it's crazy.
Mm-hmm. No, and it is absolutely crazy. What Lisa said, I had a hard time watching it. Like Zach said, it's still a man dying no matter what flaws. Right. And Woke for Years says, I really don't get it. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Who was the one who said something about the paramedics? Because that was the, what I was wondering, too. The paramedics not working on him right there. You know, I mean, if they felt that the officers were culpable in his death, then, I mean, what about the paramedics who, like, really should have begun working on him right there? I mean, they drove a couple of blocks away, and then they fumbled around with that machine for a super long time. And, I mean, what was the time gap from the moment that they arrived to the moment that they finally started doing the CPR?
It was 3 minutes by the time they fuddled around to do the CPR. So initially, from the very get-go, this is still like May 29 or something, 2020, I called Hennepin Healthcare right away because I was like, I looked at the autopsy and I'm like, what's with all this tibia? They're putting a catheter in the tibia. What are they doing in there? Mm-hmm. And what is the average time that you resuscitate someone? Because he left at 8:30 and they were, it's called the stab room in Minneapolis. It's a leading, ironically, resuscitation. And it was also a rookie that administered the rest. So like in reality, it's 20 minutes. I don't think they would go through such length to try to resuscitate me personally. Mm. And juxtaposed against me showing you at least one person saying he was dead at the scene.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, it was pretty and obvious so, to anybody that he was dead. I mean, you know, I would think that the paramedics, I mean, you know, moving his lifeless body to the gurney. I mean, it's just, you know, come on.
So when I called Hennepin, because of course at any given time you can bust out HIPAA and not have to tell a journalist anything, but they directed me because so there's load and go. So they determined, and that's why I say in the movie, on one hand, they're blaming the audience, the bystanders for the reason they had to move. And in the trial, and they say that they were helpful more so than the officers. So when I called Hennepin Healthcare, she told me, she referred me to a Star Tribune article. And I said, I'm a journalist that's trying to do original reporting and you're asking me to go read an article by another journalist? Is that how we do it these days? Mm-hmm. Like for real? Is that how we do it? I'm going to go read and report on a report?
Yeah.
Like, so then they cited HIPAA and then I did go read that article where they determined on one hand, they even say they didn't know. I have this in my book. They didn't know how bad it was. And so I say in my book, but isn't that their job to determine how bad it is?
Certainly.
And anyway, yes, it's very obvious in the movie and in what really happens that, you know, I say, it's like, does it look like there's an emergency here? They're chatting and it's, you know, also the paramedics are wearing bulletproof vest. I hear that that's not typical. And I don't put this in the movie, but the truth is that they only bagged him for oxygen properly when the firefighters came. And then I show that they didn't even know why the firefighters were there. And in the trial of the federal trial, they established that it's not protocol to right. have EMS and the, why are you waiting for firefighters to probably oxygen bag, unless this is a live exercise that went wrong? And they also admit, the training division commander, that sometimes accidents happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Well, hell of a time for it to happen. We've got another caller on the line. I'm going to go ahead and bring him in. Caller, you're on the air. Make sure you mute that stream.
Person's from Minnesota. I see your area code.
Hi, caller. Can we get your name?
You are correct.
I am.
Fran Boyd.
Hey, what's going on, buddy? How you doing?
Good, good. So you're going to be happy, Zach. I haven't been drinking tonight. So.
Oh, excellent, excellent.
I'm happy, too, as a food Nazi that doesn't drink.
So, what, as a Minnesota resident, what's your thoughts on this?
Oh, I have so many thoughts. You know, I have not drove downtown since then.
I don't blame you.
I avoid it like the plague. Mm-hmm. I'm afraid, like I see those people blocking the freeway. Mm-hmm. I'm afraid that I'll end up in some situation like that and having to go to court because I ran somebody over because I don't have the temperament for it. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
But anyway, I wanted to tell your guest that she's a brave lady. Brave lady. I mean, this subject is still taboo.
Mm-hmm.
I can't count how many friends I don't want to say necessarily that I lost them, but caused a lot of rift because of my personal opinion about what happened. You know what I mean?
Sure. So that's something that I had wondered, you know. I mean, did the people of Minnesota look at this and just take it at face value? Or are there people out there who are, you know, openly asking questions saying, God, you know, this doesn't feel right?
Well, you know, I moved out of the Twin City area when I retired from the military. And I've seen a lot of this stuff coming down the pike, and that's one of the reasons why I moved. And, you know, I'm married to a Filipino.
Mm-hmm.
And when I retired, I looked at my wife and I said, you know, what the heck are we doing down here? I mean, things were about to explode for one reason or another. I mean, you had the Trayvon Martin thing and you had, you know, all the stuff that went on during Obama's era.
Mm-hmm.
And all the attempts that they had to stir the pot back then, even. And so I bought 40 acres up on a lake out in the middle of nowhere up by the Canadian border. I'm not going to tell you exactly where, but
that's,
you know what I'm
good,
saying.
Smart man.
And now it's me and the dogs.
Do you guys remember that Minneapolis cop? I'm pretty certain it was a Minneapolis cop.
Yeah.
And he was the one who shot the woman in the alleyway. Like, she called 911. And then they showed up and he like murdered her in the alleyway. Do you guys remember that scenario?
I don't remember that.
I don't remember that either. No.
Okay.
Umbrella Man.
I just found it. This was back. Oh, no. Yeah. Mohammed Noor. He only got a couple of years in jail.
Yes.
Yeah. He was, she was an Australian national. This is back in 2017. She called 911 to report an intruder. And he was convicted of murder, but it was overturned last year. And so now he's out of prison. I find it fascinating the treatment of these two different cases. I mean, when he shot her, I mean, I understand, you know, accidents happen. And if, you know, you're using a firearm and you're not particularly skilled with it, maybe something like this could happen. But I mean, as a police officer, I would imagine that you're probably going through more training than just your average bear. And certainly the act of shooting an unarmed woman in an alleyway, I mean, it just seems like a gross oversight and a lot more akin to murder than what happened with George Floyd. But obviously,
right?
It wasn't caught on film. There wasn't a crowd of people standing around. And, you know, and of course, he's a Somali immigrant.
I want to say that. That's exactly right. That they, you can, I found InMotion wanting this defunding, the police initiative and a lot of effery in Minneapolis. Like, I found a list of all the cops that have been arrested and the things that, like, from the cops were involved in prostitution to drug trafficking. There's, you know, they call it Murderopolis for a reason. So I found the paper in 2008 saying that it wasn't enough. Like, they needed Darnella's footage. And I would argue that's why it's not an accident, but they were waiting for this and it was in motion. Alas, a lot of the good cops have left. Homicide has doubled. I was recently in Tampa and I sat beside someone from Minneapolis and I told him, I said, you're from Minneapolis. What could you tell me? And he was scared to give his name. I told him I was making, you know, it's no accident to me that he sat beside me, but he witnessed the evidence room being burnt down and people burning it down. And WeChat went on, deleted all of his evidence, just deleted all of his evidence. And he saw instances of the manipulation. There was also someone after another show I did that was a pilot and told me that the prior to the lockdown, weeks before, that the two they were being put in different hotels because of the lockdown. Not all hotels were operating, so he was staying in swankier hotels in Minneapolis, in St. Paul, and another place. And he said the first two floors, the penthouse and below, were full of thugs that looked like looked like gang members. And perhaps that's what they did with the prisoners that they released, because this was orchestrated. And I've heard evidence of orchestration even in Nebraska, like across the board.
Wait a second. Let me put that together. So the burning down of the evidence room, obviously all of those cases go out the door. So anybody that was being held on those charges, they would have been set free right before George Floyd's death, and then they were there free to burn the city down. Is that what you're saying? Maybe.
Do you remember, Ilya, let me put context. Do you remember prior to these lockdowns in the beginning of the Rona, when there was all this hoopla and I tried to investigate, they were letting prisoners go? Do you recall?
I do. Yeah, I remember.
Okay, what did they do with them?
Yeah.
Perhaps these are the people that, in part, that they recruited to be in the hotel rooms weeks before the lockdown in preparation of the orchestration that happened across the entire country.
Sure.
You know, also the bricks that were left, that were found throughout. It's ironic that George comes from Cooney Homes, the Brick Boys, and that it's a federal housing complex. So it would be a perfect place to recruit snitches and informants. Sure.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Freya, any thoughts on this?
Well, Minnesota has a long, long history. You know, Minnesota's put out, I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, the most Fortune 500 companies
really
than any other state. Back in the day, I think Cargill came out of here. A whole bunch of old money is out of the state. We have the Iron Range. You have the Duluth port that used to ship all that stuff. There's a lot of old money. And I've moved, and I'm realizing how controlled this whole state. In all these small towns up north.
Well, there was one down the street.
I also thought that was interesting that Maurice said that he said it was a Masonic cult.
About Masonic cult. I didn't get to tell him, like, we touched upon, he convinced that there's no drugs, or that's the story he's sticking to. And I wanted to just touch upon that in the movie, but I really wanted to make it matter of fact. I have a whole chapter of it in my book, and Maurice did it for me. You know, it was just the right touch. And, you know, off the camera, what I said is, like, it's not only the attorneys, Maurice. It's not only them that's a cult, you know?
Do you know that
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, no, go ahead. Go ahead.
Do you know, have you heard of the, in Duluth, Minnesota, they're the ones, some feminist group came up with something to do with women's rights and the whole thing. It's called the Duluth Model. Zach, can you Google that real quick or whatever? Yes, you do?
The Duluth
Don't Google
model.
Anything.
Well, not Google DuckDuckGo, but model. I've got like six different search engines. I like to see what I get.
Yes.
The Duluth.
Right?
You know,
I signed back
onto Facebook the other day, and then all of a sudden my DuckDuckGo disappeared off my phone.
Oh, that's interesting. That's very interesting. All right, so the Duluth model says, since the early 1980s, Duluth, a small community in northern Minnesota, has been an innovator of ways to hold batterers accountable and violence. Sounds nice and flowery.
Yeah, well, if you go and just do some more research and how it's spread into the UK, and they're using it in their satanic cult rituals, taking these women and exploiting them and their children and things like that.
Well, you know, as far as you can also say,
I'm just using that as an example of, and also Minnesota's educational system has made a lot of standards through the generations to hold the rest of the country to in one fashion or another, sort of like the Iowa basics and things like that back in the day. I don't know if you're familiar with that.
No, what's that? What other things have they?
You are afterwards. You know what I mean?
Right. I want to say that you can look at this and consider this to be a cornerstone ritual, and that I have a chapter and I had a filmmaker friend. I'll just say this: a filmmaker friend who saw the film, and he's like, "Whoa, Miriam! Like, that's intense. I think I just witnessed a ritual killing."
And that's the point I'm trying to get to. There is a lot of power in this state, and it's been waning because a lot of these corporations have gone international. But there's still a lot of old money. And my wife cleans house for some heiress that's a tobacco queen.
Wow!
She's a sweet old lady, and she's probably on her last days. But I don't want to give away too much.
Sure,
you know, because
we don't want you to dox yourself.
or the old lady, but. This in the Northern Woods, let's just put it that way, North Woods. I don't know if you're familiar with that conspiracy.
Yes, North Woods, please tell us.
Well, there's a lot of big, big money in the cabins that are out in the middle of nowhere around here. And I remember when I first moved up here, I got my dogs. And one of the big, big players in the area came over to give me an estimate. I'm not going to say for what or whatever. Mm-hmm. And my dog has never bit anybody. Okay. I was power washing in the back of the garage. So the guy kind of came around the corner and one of my white German shepherds started barking at him and nipped him in the hand just barely. And I'm like, out of all the the company to come out and give me an estimate anymore for future work. And it's because
that's
everyone around here knows where I stand with all this New World Order stuff. And half of them think I'm crazy. Half of them think I'm right on.
Sounds about right.
A lot of veterans. I got FBI down the street
on the lake with me. I feel surrounded sometimes. Brave, you probably need to have security, especially if this blows up and goes viral.
But it won't, because what they do with me.
You don't think so?
We gotta try to help.
I wanna say this should go viral because it's that explosive, and based on
you probably took a lot of liberties and some stretches and stuff, but. Whatever they want us to see.
I don't take a lot of liberties, actually. It's very matter of fact. It's raw footage, and it's stitched together in a real timeline. And I. It's an offense, but I consciously.
Yeah.
You know, as far as like.
But that's how some people are going to take it. They're going to say, well, she's guiding it and blah, blah, blah. And you're not. I understand that. These are the timelines of events that happened.
Yeah, she's right. It is very matter of fact. I would think it would be very difficult for people to poke holes in it because you don't make any, any summary judgment. You know, I mean, I'm interested to know, eventually at the end of the day, you know, what you think transpired. But you don't even propose that in the movie. You just put forth the footage and you narrate what's going on and you point out the inconsistencies with the official narrative, which is something I haven't seen really anybody do in this format. It's well worth it.
Maybe for just $4.99. It's probably the cost of some shitty beer. So
right.
I do think in 10 minutes you can, like I said, glean a lot and see it from the perspective you should have when before they manipulated you consciously by playing over and over and over this one bit. And so
believe me, I was not fooled for one moment.
Well, yeah,
the collective you.
Yes, not you, yes.
Well, I mean, look what was going on at the time, okay? COVID just came out. Gas prices dropped down. Yeah. And then all of a sudden we come to these elections and everybody just voted them back in after all that crap we went through.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, oh, there's no way. There's no way we voted that guy back in, Waltz.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
There's no way.
Just like,
I mean, come on.
Jacob Frost.
It's not logical.
Ilhan Omar, Keith Ellison, took an oath on the Quran, who you could argue when he did that, he abandoned any oath to America. And mm-hmm. at the live stream, he was there in the corner, keeping my eye on you. That's what he's saying. He dropped by in the federal trial. I'm keeping my eye on you. Yeah.
Our attorney general.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. He's
that
corrupt.
Guy. Mention his name.
Corrupt AF.
He was just hanging out with Soros' son the other day. Well, not the other day, but a while back.
Alex? Soros? Alex came to Minnesota, or did Keith Ellison go to Davos?
Nope. That guy came to Minnesota. Evidently, I don't know the whole story. You know, when I see stuff like that, I just go. Bells are ringing, and I, you know, like, oh my goodness gracious, people can't see that, really.
All right, well, listen, Freya, I'm gonna bounce off. We got about 10 minutes left here, and I got a couple more questions for Miriam. But
okay,
if you
I'm not
check
Freya,
out...
I'm Freya and Boy.
Freya and Boy, I know, but I abbreviate just for the sake of the argument. But yes, I know Freya and the Boys, and but if you want to see the film. The link is in the Rumble chat. I'm going to throw it in there right now once again. And I'm going to copy it directly and then put it out there. But I don't know if you saw the earlier part of the show, but Miriam was saying that you can actually do like a yearly subscription to the Movies Plus service. And then you can see all the other movies they got too. So.
Yeah, I'm about ready to cancel my dish.
There you go.
Pay $180 a month for a bunch of satanic garbage.
Holy How much geez.
$180, and that's not even, what? I don't even have HBO. That's just a basic movie channel package.
What the hell?
That's crazy. That's crazy. Yeah, yeah, dump it. Dump it.
I know. I have to figure out a way to break it to my wife.
All right.
All right, brother. Hey, God bless.
God bless
you too,
and,
brother.
And keep up the good work, Nor.
Yeah.
I mean, Miriam.
Thank you.
Yes, it's Miriam. It's Miriam. You did it right.
Sorry.
It's okay. It's all right, brother.
I caught my seat.
I knew a Miriam.
Yeah.
I knew a Miriam when I was deployed. And I was like, oh, you looked a lot like her, but she was a bodybuilder. And then I was like, oh, no, that's not her.
Not the
Definitely
same.
Not me.
All right, Frey and the boys. We'll see you soon, buddy.
I had a colleague. We have to take for our SBA loan insurance, which I didn't know and I haven't had. And he wrote to me the other day. He's like, I'm still looking into insurance policies. I want to get one in case you die. And I was like,
oh, wow.
I was just like, what?
Yeah, right.
I just found that like striking. Like, why would you even write that? Put it out there. What the hell?
Well, it's a dangerous game you're playing.
I can't even have a burger at the local resort without getting assaulted because I ask questions about the elections.
Yeah.
Literally, yeah. I got shouted out, and then the bartender apologized for me, and I'm like, what?
Wow.
I was asking questions. Wow. And these people, this guy's like, turn around, eat your burger. Yeah, and I'm like, oh my goodness gracious. Some people have a transducer on you.
That's nuts.
Well, all right. It's a long story, but anyways. God bless you both.
Thank you.
Zach,
you too.
You do a good job. Thank you so much for your channel. I get so much out of it. Thank you. I
appreciate you, brother. Thank you. God bless. We'll see you. Lonely German said, I like the sidewalls on Zach's too. Yeah, the guy cut my hair just a little bit too high, higher than I wanted. It'll grow back in like a week, but yes. I like the fade to come up to about here. But either way, it'll grow back rather soon.
Yeah.
I wouldn't know. But, all right. So we've only got a few minutes left. I am interested to see or to hear if you have drawn any conclusions as to, you know, like what you think was actually going on here.
Yeah, I have. I think that it's an operation that went wrong and that it was organized. I don't think it was co-opted. The only thing that comes, you know, as far as George and Derek not recognizing one another, the only way, because I wondered, how could that be, is if they got any directions to not recognize one another. I just don't buy if they did work at the same place where it's seemingly, by the way, Derek's tax evasion case is coming up. So you have proof that they both worked there. So I you know, I also put it out there for other people so we can have a real conversation and not a manipulated one to see other people's impressions. But I certainly, I think that it was an operation that went wrong or very right, you know, depending on who you ask and depending on who knew that he was going to die. So I just think some people didn't or weren't privy to that.
Yeah, you know, I think that even if George Floyd hadn't have died, I think the situation could have been used to pretty much the same effect. I mean, I think that the country might have just popped off regardless, but it was just a little bit more violent because of the fact that he actually did die. You know, obviously, there had been a number of different instances of people being filmed, being arrested by the police. I mean, it happens all the time, but you know, when you get something that has a particular ring like that, obviously people are going to go in a certain direction. So, I mean, George might have definitely thought that he was going to be okay. He was going to live and that he just had to play along. I certainly would imagine that if the cop you worked with at a nightclub showed up on the scene, you would try to cash a chip in.
You know, like you'd say, hey, Derek, right. It's me. Derek, it's George. You know me. I'm not a bad guy. I mean, he was saying things like that, but he didn't direct anything at Derek. And Derek certainly didn't act like he had any recognition. But they must have known each other. How could you miss George Floyd? Really?
No. What did you think at the end when Charles goes, I know you. I saw you 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, yeah, that was crazy for him to see, to recognize and, you know, say hello to somebody who's just a random dude on the street. But then George Floyd, who he actually works with, there's nothing. It's just totally blank.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of I'm very curious. I mean, honestly, this would go viral. But mm-hmm. So why? Of course, yes, I'm very grateful for people sharing it and for you, Zach. Anyone who's willing to revisit it, because I think that, you know, some people would be like, oh, no, I don't want to deal with that, which is too bad because they're seeing it in a new way. And this is real investigations take time, yo. Mm-hmm. This McJustice bullshit yeah. is yeah. not, sorry, excuse me, it's not no, real. Good. It's not, it's not the way things, I can vouch as an investigative journalist. That I also did get 340 internal emails between the government and the police.
Oh, I'm interested to see that as well.
Yeah, right, that will be right. In the book. I know we don't have time.
Well, I'm happy to bring you back once the book comes out. So we'll revisit it in the future. Over on the Foxhole, thank you to Porpoiseful for that cookie. PeaQuest for the cookie. C. Blanche, who says, great show. Thanks, RP. Sean Joe, thank you very much for the two cookies. Matt 1776 says, great discussion. Casey dropped a phone, and then Average Joe Patriot says, another great show. RP and Miriam equals fire. And I just wanted to say that while I was looking for a good picture of you for the thumbnail today, you were the first Miriam Hinane that comes up, but then there's also a dentist named Miriam Hinane that gets mixed in with your search results.
Really?
Yeah. I'll send it over after we're done here. But I couldn't believe it. I was like, I've never seen anybody but you in every search, and now all of a sudden there's somebody else there.
Huh. Interesting. Yeah. No idea. Someone named Dennis?
Yeah, I don't know where she's based out of, but yes, she's a dentist. All right, let me pass out the gold pills, and then we'll go ahead and say good night. And you know, let me just for the sake of thoroughness, let me make sure that there's nothing on Cash App. I don't think so. Yep, nothing on Cash App. And then on Buy Me a Coffee.
I should
nope,
look into
nothing
this.
On Buy Me a Coffee either. Okay.
And if I can tell people to follow me on Twitter. Yay.
Sure. Yeah.
Digitally
yeah.
Restored.
Is it at Miriam Hinane or is it something else?
Yes, it is at Miriam Hinane. And a lot of people are like, oh, glad to see you're back. But I'm like, I never left. I was B lady.
That's right.
17. But yes, please come to Miriam Hinane. And also, I don't know if people can go to Gifts and Go. I'm still trying to raise funds for paying off the film, and or they can just go and rent the movie or buy it on My Movies Plus. But if they want to directly support me, they can go to Gifts and Go.
All right. I put that out there in the chat as well. All right.
Oh,
so,
thank you.
As always, thank you for being here. I really appreciate it. Thanks for the conversation. Thank you to everybody out there in the audience. And I will be back tomorrow at 9 p.m. with my friend Corey Hughes. We're going to be talking JFK. So interesting that you brought it up at the beginning of the show. Corey, I'll send you Corey's documentary, 6-hour documentary on the assassination of John F. Kennedy. And he's writing a book as well. So that's why he's coming back on. So please be here tomorrow, guys. And I hope to see you then. So until that time, good luck and God bless. And we'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you.